Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Morning, rise and shine. You're on with the Due Time with Pastor Steph. How are you today? That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you all week? Well, we had an abbreviated week because of Monday was the Memorial Day holiday. So the Deep Time crew had a little holiday as well. So Tuesday, let's talk about a Tuesday church folk day. We talked about the copycat shooting of, well, at least this was an attempted make you think I was going to be shooting somebody. A young man, 18 years old, who had a picture of him with a handgun, a rifle, and a tactical style vest, as well as the 10-year-old third grader who also sent out notes and a text that he was going to shoot up a school. Well, they didn't take too kindly to all of this melee, and everybody got arrested. Yeah, arrested, and yeah, because nobody's, you know, taking these things as a joke these days with the Uvalde shooting up the school. Yeah, you will have to answer to these practical jokes. But our conversation took place about, you know, now that we are going back to actual live service, you know, are we really paying attention to the needs of those who are coming out? You know, we know that you have to social distance and make sure that, you know, you stay safe. But are we really pleasing God and serving God properly when we are not really in contact with people who come out who are hurting? Are we doing our job? Or are we worried more about catching COVID? Yeah. You know, some might say, listen, you know, God may want us to disciple, but we still need to be on the safe side. Well, absolutely. Absolutely. And we can actually do both. And we can actually do both effectively. We can actually take care of God's people and greet them properly and, you know, host a church service, as well as, you know, take care of our health and protect ourselves effectively. So everything actually can be done. Yes, you don't have to, you know, compensate one for the other. Okay? All right. Well, wow, Wednesday rolls around. And our girl Vivian brought us our socially conscious segment. And we talked about, you know, some of the things that kind of slipped through the cracks with this 18-year-old who ended up shooting up the school in Texas. Yes. Well, there was a teacher who was actually loading, you know, or unloading rather her car, and popped the side door open, and they believe that, you know, that's the door that the young man actually made entry into the school, because she did close the door suddenly, but unfortunately, in her case, she may not have locked the door. Yeah, so we're gonna pray for her if that's the case, because she's gonna have to, you know, she's gonna go through some emotional, you know, disturbance for quite some time, possibly. We're gonna pray for her, as well as praying for the young lady who the gunman clearly told that he was saving up his money to buy guns, and she said nothing, as well as telling her that he was going to shoot his grandmother, and she said nothing, and he said he was going to find him at school and shoot up, and she said nothing. Now, that's a whole lot of nothing to be doing. So we're going to pray for her too, because, you know, there's no way in the world that we get this kind of information from someone and we say and do nothing. Okay? Which brought us to our topic for the ladies, you know, as to, you know, how do you find wisdom during a crisis? Well, one of the things we talked about was being bold. Yes, you have to be bold. There's no way in the world you can go through life saying nothing when there's a crisis going on, right? Alrighty. Well, what about thinking quickly and moving on that decision? Yes, you have to think quickly, because as you can see, lives are at stake. You can't be sleeping at the wheel. What's the matter with you? Well, we also talked about, you know, just knowing how to be wise overall. You know, what do? You know, during these times when, you know, you have such vital information and someone is talking to you. You know, what do you do? What do you do? What kind of conversation do you have with that individual? You know, do you just listen and say nothing, or is there something that you can say? Is God giving you words to share? Well, it might be. We never know. So you got to be wise. You got to be wise to know how to move during this time. Okay? All right, well, we would not have a successful finish on a Wednesday morning if we did not hear from our pastor, Charlotte, with our Faith Over Fear segment. And as always, she knocked it out the park and led us into the right direction. Okay? All righty. Well, Thursday. Therapeutic Thursday rolls around, and we got to talking, and we had a good conversation, with the Eastbound crew, and we talked about those are signs that we're dealing with a con artist, and did we get some information yesterday? Well, we talked about that fourth. You know, where the con artist is trying to get you to do things, and all of a sudden, we comes into play. Everything is you and I, me and you, us, we. You know, they're not including you in on all the thoughts and all the plans, and before you know it, you're fucked up into this situation or this problem or this issue or this plan. Yes. We talk about the charm and niceness. You know, they surely know how to charm somebody. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be part of one of our stories today, too. You know, charming you and, you know, playing nice and always letting you know that, feel you're the person that matters, and it's your thoughts that they care about, and the outcome has to be in your favor. Yeah, that's definitely a sign of a con artist. And we also talked about too many details. You know, when they just got to keep on padding this story and giving you more and more and more and more details just to pull you in to what's going on. Yeah. That's how it normally goes down. So you got to be real careful about, you know, possibly being sucked up into these people's con games. Yeah, you know, and I got to tell you, these people, these con artists, they are really, really good at what they do. Oh, yeah. They mastered this place. That's why you got to make sure that you're at the top of your game and you're making sure that you are in with God, because that's the only way. Sometimes your senses are going to be sharp, and you're going to know when somebody is trying to, you know, run that game down on you. Yeah, we, you know, you can't be sleeping at the wheel on these people these days, because I tell you, before you know it, you'll be involved in all kind of things, and you'll be asking, how did you get here? Yeah. That's a typical one. That's a typical one. Very, very, very typical. So we don't, you know, we want to make sure that, you know, we let the Lord design what we do and what we listen to and how we listen and what we get involved in. Because sometimes if we're not paying attention, the enemy, that great con artist, he'll be fully sucking us into his will. So let's make sure we, you know, we're in God's pocket, so we don't have to worry about that, okay? All right. Well, today is Freestyle Friday, and we get to do whatever it is we want to do. And let's listen to the night. Yes. Today is Men's Day over here. You know, that's how we finish off our week when we're doing this due time with Pastor Steph. And, you know, we've got some stories to talk about. We've got some conversations to be had. And we're really looking forward to hearing from the men and them setting us into a fantastic, thought-provoking evening. Okay? So, you know, I'm going to send you to go get that healthy breakfast. Make sure you tell somebody that it's due time with Pastor Steph is on. And make sure you go nowhere, because we will be right back.
Every day, signs warn us of danger. But often, hepatitis B won't give you a warning. Hepatitis B often doesn't cause symptoms. 1 in 12 Asian Americans is infected with hepatitis B, and most don't know it. In fact, hepatitis B is the number one cause of liver cancer among Asian Americans. Hepatitis B is a virus that is most often spread through infected blood. It is not spread through air or by sharing food or utensils. If left untreated, it can lead to serious liver problems. Testing is the only way to know if you have hepatitis B. Talk to your doctor today about getting tested. Treatments are available that can save your life. Thank you.
good morning, good morning, and good morning to you. Welcome to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And it is Freestyle Friday. Yes. God has brought us safely through another. Yeah, you know, I have to tell you, being brought safely through another week is really an understatement these days, because we have seen that you just can't go anywhere and automatically feel safe. Not anymore. Those days are long gone. People have just snatched that luxury of just chilling away from us. Yeah, you gotta watch your back. You gotta look over your shoulder. You can't really sit and relax anywhere anymore and just chill and enjoy yourself, you know, unless you're sitting up in your living room. And sometimes that ain't even, you know, safe. But, you know, we're going to give God thanks that we were, you know, one of the ones who not only were kept safe, but our family, you know, and our friends and our loved ones were also kept safe. They didn't, you know, meet any hurt, harm, or danger, neither did we, you know, because these people have really, really lost it. And they have taken so much joy out of just living. Yeah, you know, and you got to watch everything you do and watch, you know, what you say, and you can't sneeze too hard, or, you know, as we talked about yesterday, you can't even walk the streets and go to the store. You know, the 16-year-old young lady, you know, goes to the store and, you know, somebody just sticks her in the back with a knife. You know, and thank God, he did not do much, you know, damage to her, you know, except for some mental anguish now that she's suffering, you know, because she is afraid of going outside. Yeah. That's what he's left her with, you know. So that's what I said, you know, we don't realize actually how blessed we are. We don't realize how blessed we are at all. So we got something to give God thanks about. Okay. All right, let's get to talking about the news stories. Well, out in Florida, you know, you've had, again, you know, the fast food worker is not safe again, you know, as there were, some women who were not happy with their food. And here we are, you know, doing our job, and before we know it, the woman had to defend herself. You know, they came in complaining about, you know, the food that they had been sold, and now, you know, the Steak and Shake is no longer safe as they make their way behind the counter. And they start to beat this worker. And unfortunately, you know, they claim the other workers were what they call shell shocked, you know, as they stood back with their mouths open, you know, while this girl was getting beat down. They stood back and watched, and no one but one other person tried to intervene. And they attempted to, this one person attempted to help this one young lady. And, you know, initially the worker tried to defend herself, but after a while, you know, really was outnumbered, and she just kind of crumbled to the floor and just kicked and, you know, did all kind of things to her. Well, you know, one of the suspects pulled out a gun and threatened to shoot the employee. But thank God they did not, you know, follow through on that and, you know, ran out to the car and, you know, left the victim with concussions, you know, and cuts to her face and, you know, all other parts of her body. And, you know, this is, again, you know, you just can't even go to work. You can't even go to work and just do your job. You can't just go to work and do your job. Before you know it, you know, you're fighting people off. You know, we've been talking about that quite a bit this year. You know, it seems to be where, you know, these people are attacked. And, you know, this is one of the reasons why, you know, here's the bad part. You don't know if you're going to be attacked by a coworker. You don't know if you're going to be attacked by, you don't know if you're going to be attacked by, you know, one of the people who come up in the store or a restaurant. You know, I mean, you just ain't safe. You're just not safe. And, you know, you don't know where these things are going to come from. You really don't know where the attacks are going to come from. Okay. Well, we're talking about, remember we just definitely said you ain't safe nowhere. Well, here we go. Here we are at a funeral. Yep. So you have DeShante King funeral in Wisconsin. And here goes the shooting. So they have a number of people who were shot at a cemetery in Wisconsin after, you know, they a while. They were, you know, putting and laying to rest, you know, this young man. And, you know, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, 2:30 in the afternoon. You know, remember at one point you could, you know, you couldn't go out at night. You were afraid to go out at night because all the shooting would happen at night. Well, that ain't no more. Yesterday we talked about the shooting that was at 11:45. We then talked about, you know, remember the shooting that took place at 5 o'clock in the evening. You know, people are in the what do you call that place? The clinic. And now here we are at the cemetery, burying our loved ones. And before you knew it, some gunshots rang out, and there were people who were hit. And, you know, now they're after, you know, somebody to be, you know, what are you doing? I just tell you, it's just, this leaves me speechless at times. It really does. It really leaves me speechless at times because yesterday, as I was looking for the news, and then I saw this, I'm like, really, y'all? It's like, it's almost like they're trying to, I don't know if it's coming up now and we're paying attention to it more now because this is what's happening more and more and more, or it's just happening more and more and more. Yeah. So they said 20 to 30 shots rang out during this cemetery burial. And, you know, several people were hit. And, you know, now they have to try to clean up this mess and try to find out exactly what happened here. So, you know, it's, like I said, you got to, you know, live with your head on a swivel. Because everywhere you turn, you have to worry about, you know, something happening everywhere you go. Everywhere you go. So I want to talk about, I'm trying to find my little news story about, here we go. about the shooting that took place the other day. So, you know, remember we talked about in Tulsa, in the clinic. Well, here's the deal with this one. This one wasn't as random as some of the others, but he still had his, he was still a little twisted as well. So you had this man who went up in the medical building in Oklahoma with a handgun and a rifle. Four people are now dead, where other people were also wounded. So here's this 45-year-old man. And what happened was he went to the hospital for back surgery that was performed by one of the doctors in this medical building. And he had been complaining about pain post-surgery and how uncomfortable he actually was. And this was a board-certified orthopedic surgeon who did this operation, who performed this operation on him. And, again, he had been complaining to this doctor how uncomfortable he was, how much pain he was in. And I guess he didn't feel he got the attention or the relief that he felt he should have had. So they say about an hour before the shooting, he legally bought a semi-automatic AR-15 style rifle from a local gun store and purchased a semi-automatic handgun on the 29th of May from a local pawn shop. Now, let's go back a little bit. Here we are with the young man who bought that same AR-15 style rifle legally. And, you know, while they're dragging their feet on these gun laws and how easy it is to buy a gun and a rifle legally, people are getting killed because it says an hour before the shooting. So that means that you can go, this is more proof that you can go buy a gun moments before you want to actually use this gun. You can go buy these rifles and carry them out the store. It's not just that, so this is also proof that there's no waiting, there's no nothing. And these rifles are just like you could go in the store and buy a pack of gum. So while they're dragging their feet on, you know, all of these gun laws and preventing these people from being able to buy these rifles and these guns and things like that so easily and having access so easily, yeah. More and more people are getting killed because what happened was they found a note that said that he was going to kill this doctor and anybody standing in the way. And he meant that. He meant that because that's exactly what happened. Anybody who was standing in the way of him and the doctor got shot. And now you have more lives taken. Three additional people who are now not here anymore, in addition to the doctor who he was targeting and the other people who were wounded in the medical building. And then he took his own life. The coward he is. Or he was. So, you know, again, you know, I'm looking here and they're talking about how, you know, they're doing this and they're doing that and they're having these conversations and they're having those conversations. Well, people are still dying while y'all are talking. When I saw that it said an hour before he committed these, you know, this act, that he went and bought this AR-15 from a local gun shop. It's sickening. It is sickening that you could go and buy these guns and you could walk out the store with it the same moment you buy it. What kind of law allows you to just walk out of a store? What kind of law allows you to walk out of a store like that? I tell you, this is really, it's the story's just getting worse and worse and worse. Worse and worse. Oh my goodness. Well, I got some more stories to talk about before we get to the gentleman. So we got something to talk about. Oh boy. All right. So here we are again with the substitute teacher. So there's this Southern California elementary school where they arrested a substitute teacher on suspicion he molested four female students in the classroom. Now, we've been talking about this here with the substitute teachers, with the teachers. My question is, how do you do this in the class? In the classroom. So the victims were in between the ages of 8 and 9, and they told the investigators that this teacher touched them inappropriately, and they were molested individually and at different times throughout the day. And they had this, are y'all ready for this, 69-year-old teacher. 69-year-old teacher who was a full-time teacher for many years. And I guess as he got older, you know, he downgraded to a substitute teacher. So here's my thing. How many people did you molest when you were a full-time teacher and you really had access to these kids? Because you were so bold and brazen, you did it right in the class. You didn't pull nobody, you know, out of the class, wait till after school, right there in the class. And again, what is this with this bail business? So after they arrested him, he posted his own $100,000 bail after he was arrested. Now, he may have, you know, I guess he has some money put on the side for this occasion. They said he was a teacher for 18 years before he became a substitute teacher. And this is just proving to us that you have to have these conversations with your children. Because here's the thing. You can't even tell your kids, well, you know what, don't leave the classroom with anybody. You know, don't stay in the classroom, you know, by yourself. He did this during the class, during the session. He's 70 years old. 70 years old. And you're a creep. 70 years old. You need to be a grandpa sitting over in a corner somewhere. Oh, my gosh. I don't know. You know, it seems like we're just kind of recycling stories. But it's like you're not recycling stories. You're not. It's like you're not recycling stories. Because every story seems to be getting worse and worse and worse. You know, again, you know, we're talking about, hey, don't do this and don't do that. Well, what can you tell your children now when you send them to school and the teachers are doing this stuff right during the class? It's like you can't, there's no way you can even warn them, because I'm sure these girls were not prepared to, you know, if you told me don't, in other words, if you told me don't be, you know, don't get alone, don't allow them to pull me to the side. If you tell me don't do this, but can you honestly tell me that I'm prepared for, to be in the class? And somebody's going to put their hand up my skirt or put their hand in between my legs. Oh, they don't want you to keep your kids home. But what else do you do? What else do you do? I'm trying to find this story. Oh, here we are. This one here takes the cake for me this week. So we have this pimp. Are they really calling them that these days? Well, I guess so, because that's exactly what the caption reads. This pimp who chopped up the prostitute, charged with murder and sex trafficking. And here's why this is such a sickening story. Okay. He admitted to chopping up the prostitute girlfriend, putting her severed head in his freezer, where it was found, by the way. He was charged by the feds for this gruesome murder that took place back in 2017. He was also charged with sex trafficking. Now, Sugar Bear, he was acquitted. He was acquitted for this woman's murder in Brooklyn. But, now they're after him again to face new murder charges. Now, I don't know how in the world he was acquitted the first time when they found the head in the freezer, when he admitted. But he was acquitted, and they have him standing next to, are you ready for this, a woman lawyer. This is why I say it's like we're recycling, but we're not recycling. So now the feds are in charge, and they have him up for sex trafficking of 8 women, including minors, since 2003. And they have that during his trial in 2019, he was found not guilty of murdering the woman, though he was convicted of negligent homicide and concealing a corpse. This is why I don't understand how. And they say that his attorney argued that during the trial that he couldn't have killed her because he's a businessman. I can't. You know, as I was reading this, I was just so disgusted. So here's her argument, that he couldn't have killed her because he's a businessman who didn't want to hurt his bottom line. Although he said he cut off her head and cut off her body. But she's defending him, saying, in other words, he don't want to mess with his money. If these women are, you know, his bread and butter, then why would he kill them? So they have these charges that they're pulling up now from the feds. They're saying that he murdered her by beating her to death and then using a knife and a saw to dismember her, and that he brought her torso and limb to a brush sanitation site, but her head, hands, and feet, that included the a tattoo of his name on her foot, was found in his deep freezer. And now, do you see why the feds have to get involved? Because somehow or another, they could not get this sealed on a regular level here in New York. And now They're saying that he would torment and terrorize the women so he could traffic them for the money. He's accused of storing a woman's head in his freezer after he killed her. And they're saying that he put her in, when he carried her off, he put her in a suitcase. Now, we've heard of them doing that earlier this year. We had another case where the guy put the woman in the suitcase after he killed her. Remember, that was the one who killed the aunt. He put her in the suitcase. So, but here's the stuff I want to give you. Because, like I said, we're recycling, but we're not recycling. So, they say he brutally raped, beat, tortured, and threatened his victims to get them to work as prostitutes. And here's what he did with some of them. When one victim refused to prostitute herself, he used a taser on her until she complied. Another time, he slashed a victim's back and arms with a razor and beat her with a belt before he poured lemon juice on her wounds. And another victim who refused to work, he's accused of putting a gun in her mouth and threatening to kill her and her kids. Now, how in the world, if you've done all of this, again, they didn't found multiple parts of her body in your freezer. He's admitted you were ever able to get acquitted. What kind of law are we under that allows all of this to go on? If people don't see the need, this is why we need Jesus. Now, this is a woman, the woman who he is mainly accused of, this was his girlfriend. This was a prostitute girlfriend. And here's one of the things that really pulled my attention to it because of what we were talking about yesterday. And one of the things that they said is that he would promise his victims the prospect of marriage to initiate sexual relationships with them before he then demanded they work as prostitutes. So yet again, here we got these con artists. They'll say anything to draw you in, and then before you know it, you're being prostituted, and now the sex trafficking is going on. And they're saying since 2003 they are after him for including minors. Well, I'm going to tell you something. The scary part about this is you have no idea what has ultimately happened. This is only the stuff that you're hearing about. But if you're saying this is going back to 2003, we're at 23. What in the world has happened that nobody ultimately knows about? That's the scary part. That's the scary part. Let's talk about Brother Al. Good morning, Brother Al.
Good morning. Good morning to you. Oh, yeah.
Oh, goodness gracious, Brother Al. You know,
it's crazy. You know, I gotta give you my quote real quick. Go quick one.
Oh,
you know how we do.
I'm sorry.
It's all good. It's all right. It does not matter how slowly you go, as long as you do not stop. That's by my man Confucius.
You know.
I'm just saying.
Oh my goodness gracious. Oh my goodness. Thank you, Brother Al, for the quote of the day. Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Brother Al. You know, like I said earlier, you know, it seems like we're recycling these stories, but everybody got a new twist. You know, you have the shooting now at the cemetery. You know, and this is at, what, 1:30 in the afternoon, 2:30, 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I don't even know. 2:30 in the afternoon. You know, you're not at your family's, the cemetery, and now, you know, and here's the thing, it's not a retaliation shooting, because he was, the young man who they were burying, he was killed by cops. There ain't no cops at the funeral. So it's not like, you know, now you got the, like, let's say, like a gang shooting or something like that. So, again, these are just people who are out of sorts, no respect. Just, you can't contain yourself. And now you got 20 to 30 shots that ring out at the cemetery. This week alone, we've got the medical office, we've got the graduation, we've got the cemetery. One week. So I want to push that into the Tulsa shooting, where he's targeting, you know, now, so now they do the research. They found, you know, a letter that he had written. And he was targeting one of the doctors, the surgeons in this medical building, because the doctor had done surgery on his back. And he was in a lot of pain, constantly complaining to the doctor that he was in pain, did not feel he got the satisfaction that he wanted, wrote a note and said he was after this doctor, and anybody who was in the way was going to get it. He goes to, they say about an hour earlier, he goes to the local gun shop, purchases this AR-15 rifle. He goes to the pawn shop, purchases the handgun, and now commences to carry out this threat. And one of my points is, and you can, you know, comment on whatever you want to comment on, but one of my points is, y'all are now doing all this talking about what you're going to do to change these gun laws. Well, while you're talking, you've got people still dying. Because anytime you could go an hour before, Brother Al, buy this gun, this rifle, and walk out the store like you didn't just bought a bag of chips, then there's no control. There's no control. These people are doing exactly what they want to do. And I can't even imagine a law that allows you to walk out the store. I thought there was some kind of waiting period. Even from last week when this young man bought the gun, I thought if I come back in an hour or two, you know, no. You walk out the store with the gun. What kind of mess is this?
It's sickening. You know, I did read about that too when I was, you know, doing further research on that, and I saw that he had an issue with his doctor, and then he, like you said, his thing was, I'm going to get this doctor, you know, and so you got this young man that's angry, and he's working off that anger, and while he's still angry, he's able to get two guns and be able to go and attack somebody. You know, if they had a waiting period, maybe he would have had time to think about it and cool off and say, you know what?
Right.
Okay,
right.
This happened. That's dumb. I could do this. And in some states, and, you know, not only do they need to change the gun law, they need to change the laws in all of these states. Perfect example, like down south, I remember my father moved down south. And he said, you know, things are a little crazy. I'm living by myself. I want to get protection. I went with my, I'm going to tell you how it worked. We went to the pawn store where they had guns. And I'm just sitting watching, and the guy said, do you have your driver's license? My dad gave him my driver's license. He said, hold on. He put my dad's information in. About 5 minutes came back. He said, you're all clear. What gun you want? And I'm sitting there like, that's
wow.
It? I'm
wow.
Like, that's it? You know, at least here in New York, like, I have a license for New York. It took me almost 2 years. before they cleared everything and sent me the paper and said, okay, you're cleared. It took me almost 2 years. So in these other states, as soon as you show your driver's license and they check it and do a background check and everything, and it comes back right away saying, okay, no, this person don't have anything. They're like, oh, okay, you cleared. What you want? And that's insane. Wow. They have to stop it. Just, you hit it right on the head. They need to say, while y'all sitting back discussing what should we do, these people are going out here buying this stuff and killing our innocent kids and killing innocent people. They need to stop talking and do.
Or at least put everything on hold. Or at least because of what's going on, okay, you know what? Let's put a freeze on anyone. But especially guns like an AR-15 rifle. I mean, even if you didn't stop the pawn shop thing, which you should, I'm not saying that they shouldn't, but my thing is, because listen, Brother Al, ain't nobody going in a store these days buying no AR-15 rifle just to be buying it. You've just gotten finished seeing what the motive is for purchasing this type of gun. You're not hunting. You know, these are not even hunting rifles. These are combat
rifles. Right, they don't even use that for hunting.
Right. These are combat
rifles. They shouldn't even be sold to civilians.
Right.
Those rifles shouldn't even be sold to civilians.
No, and that's what I'm not understanding. Why can't you put this on freeze? No one is able to purchase these type of rifles until we come up with a law. But here you go again. All while this is going on, while y'all sit back parlaying, discussing things, here goes another set of lies, four more lives that are gone. How do we know how many more lives are going to be gone before this ultimately, you know, takes place, you know, with any change? Because everything takes 5 minutes except to buy a gun, Brother Al. Everything takes five minutes except to go buy a gun. I don't get it.
I wait longer to get my food than I wait longer to get a gun before I get my food I just ordered.
Absolutely. That's what I'm saying. Everything takes 5 minutes except to go get a gun. I don't understand. Okay, so listen. Off that subject for a minute. Off that subject. Because this is the other thing that I was really blown away at. So you have this California teacher, this substitute teacher, 70 years old. He needs to be over in a corner somewhere dying. And I know that sounds rough, but if you're doing this to the babies, you need to be over somewhere dying. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
You got 8 and 9 year olds. Four little girls who he has managed to molest during class. How does this go on? What do you tell your children? You have already warned them, Brother Al, don't be alone with anybody. We've already, warned them, don't stay late after school on the side with anybody. How do you tell them while you're in class what not to do? Because clearly you're not alone, quote unquote, per se. What do you tell your kids now?
It's crazy because I'm listening to the story. You know, I love the kids. So I'm disgusted. You're right. It's like, what else do we tell them? What I'm trying to understand is, okay, he a substitute teacher. There was also supposed to be a para in that class. So it's supposed to have been another adult, not him by himself. So that's how I'm trying to figure, where was the para while he was doing these things?
I don't know.
You know, and he's not new at this. He's been doing this where he felt comfortable enough where I could do little things in the class because I don't have him alone. He thought this out. I don't have the child alone.
Oh, absolutely.
The child's in front of everybody, so I could do a couple of things and get away with it. So obviously he's been doing this and getting away with it, and now, you know, he then got caught with it. And it's like what you said. I'm even lost on that. Like, that's some serious thinking I got to think on. Like, okay, now what do you tell the children now? Like, what do you tell the children now? Do I tell the child, my daughter or child or son, hey, listen, you in the class, you've been touched, leave that class immediately and go to get some help. That's the thing. Hey, you being touched wrong, inappropriate, Leave that class immediately and go to the principal office.
And imagine how quickly he must be doing this, where this can be done throughout the day, multiple times during the day. That's what they said.
Right.
So it ain't taking place all at 1 o'clock. So you didn't do this to Mary at 101 and then do this to Jane at 105. This is 101
right.
and then later on 215. Oh, my gosh. It's like, you, what do you tell your children now when you go to school? You know, well, if a teacher calls you over, don't go to the teacher. If you're sitting at your desk, make sure, you know, look, what do you say to the kids? How do you?
Right.
I don't understand.
He is a snake. You know what? These kids are so vulnerable, you know, because, you know, when they like you and you got a certain personality and the kids like you, they attract to you. You know, it's been time when I was at my other school where I worked with the babies. You know, them kids love me to death. So they see me, Mr. Al, they want to hug me and stuff, and I have to tell them, no. And I had to, what I started doing was developing handshakes with them. You know, and they didn't mean no harm about hugging you.
Well,
it's just
course.
That they feel
of
that
course.
Love from you, and they want to, but society see it different. So I developed handshakes
right.
with them, you know, and we did that. And it's been times where I had to, you know, with one of the parents in the class, or almost to be, I got to go to the bathroom real quick. Could you stay here with the teacher? And I go in there, and the kids are so happy to see me, and I might be sitting down. And it's been with kids come over, you know, they come over to see me, and they play with the blocks, and they want to try to jump on my lap. And I'd be like, oh, no, you can't sit on Mr. Al's lap. I said, never sit on nobody's lap. And, you know, you have to tell that. And they don't, because they don't know, they don't mean no harm. You know what I'm saying? And then
right,
you got
right.
no life like him that take advantage of that. So, you know, I'm just seeing that scene of seeing these babies. They're vulnerable. He probably got a great personality. The kids are attracted to that. And like I said, I've been in class where the kids come run and try to jump on my lap. I'm like, oh, no. You got to stand up. And they probably did that to him, and he probably welcomed it. But my question
right.
again is,
yes.
where the heck was the power? Where was that power? It's supposed to have been a power in there.
You know, you don't, and you know, because like you said, you know, he had been in the classroom for 18 years. So can you imagine all of the skill that he's developed in
oh, yeah.
finding holes and how he could actually get to, you listen, you had to be sitting down planning that,
mm-hmm.
you know, when these opportunities came by, this is what you were going to do. Because there's no way in the world this is not something that you haven't done before. Nah.
Oh, yeah.
Nah. You've been in the classroom for 18 years. Oh, how many other children outside of these four that you have actually been guilty of molesting, but nobody even knew about it?
Mm-hmm.
Six. Oh, thank you for joining us, Brother Al. I'm coming back to that big story we got of this Brooklyn issue. We're going to talk to Pastor KL for a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Good morning, Pastor KL.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you?
I'm confused, Pastor KL. It's just so much news. Head is spinning, trying to figure out how these things get done. You know, how are you today?
I'm well, thank you. I'm well.
That's good. So, you know, we're talking about, you know, this whole gun thing. We've got three shootings this week at the cemetery, at the graduation, and at the medical building. And it, you know, going back and finding out that this 45-year-old shooter at the medical building wrote a note. That, you know, this is who he was targeting and anybody else that got in the way. And an hour before, he purchases this AR-15 rifle from the local gun shop, and he goes to the pawn shop and buys a handgun, and he carries out exactly what he threatens to carry out. What in the world are we doing while these people are still purchasing these type guns an hour before? So this just proves that all you have to do is go in and you walk out at the same time with this weapon. No Okay, so here's my thing. What background check you do in less than an hour?
Exactly. And that was my question. I mean, what kind of background checks do they do? What kind of verification do they do? You know, a lot of times, even when you're trying to get credit, you got to have references. You know what I mean? I mean, what are you doing? Are we just seeing the cash money and we're saying, okay, let's sell this? And I'm trying to figure out what animal are you hunting? Bear? Lions? With an AR? You know what I'm saying? With that kind of gun. Why would the salesperson think it's okay to sell that? What kind of questions did you propose before the sale to make you feel comfortable that he needed to have this particular weapon?
Yep. And I'm trying to figure out, Pastor Kale, you've got the young man who bought this AR-15 last month for his birthday. You have the other assault rifle that, you know, in the past has been purchased. You now have this guy who sells this weapon to this 45-year-old man, and an hour later he goes, how do you sleep at night? What do you, because listen, if you didn't took the ID and all of this stuff, you remember you the one that sold that weapon. How
right.
do you now and say, well, you know, listen, it was a sale. I didn't know what they were going to do with it. With this Uvalde shooting just last week, you wouldn't even say, well, you know what, I'm not going to participate in this no more. You know what I'm saying? Just so it would not be on your sales ticket. I don't know.
You're right. I mean, and you're right. With all the stuff that's going on, your conscience should be your
right.
guide. You know, you should say, is this really what I want to do? Is this sale worth it? You know what I'm saying? Because some sales cost too much, literally.
Right.
You know,
right.
You lose all these items, and, you know, the sale doesn't match the cost.
Right. If you were to have gotten $1 million for that gun the other day, now that there have been 4 murders with that same weapon and
right.
other people's lives, people were injured, I'm a millionaire now. What else are you having to carry around with you other than a bank account?
Right.
I don't get it. Now we have to worry about, as surgeons, if somebody doesn't get relief, now they're coming back. That was your argument. That was your argument.
Listen,
you kept going back.
I've been in a lot of pain for a lot of
right.
different reasons.
Right.
You know, and it doesn't always work the first time. I know I had to have at least 3 procedures on my back before it finally worked. You know, so you can't go out. Listen, and then I go and kill you. My back still hurts.
Right. And I'm going to jail where they could give a hot
yeah.
diggity dang on about my back.
Listen, and there's going to be more than my back hurting when I go to jail.
Okay. So, yeah, we really ain't thought this out. Oh, well, you know what? He's dead. He thought it out. He's dead. He killed himself. So he ain't got no more pain.
Right.
No pain. You know, it's this is a sick society we're living in. And, again, you know, we're talking about the cemetery, the medical building, the graduation. And we've got to walk around with our head on a swivel. You can't get comfortable anywhere.
Right.
All right, Pastor K.O., we're talking about the classroom. You know, we've had these issues come up recently about what the substitute teacher has been doing. We've got this 18-year veteran. You know, now he's a substitute teacher at 70. And now, you know, he's has been found guilty of this issue of molesting the children in the classroom during class. What do you say to your children now? What do you want them? Yeah. How do you want them?
I think, first of all, he should be put under the jail. And then, you know, how do we say we sending our kids to you, you understand what I'm saying, in confidence that you got to teach our children, and then you're doing other stuff, you know? And then, you know, who's saving them? Who's helping them? That's a hardship.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's sad because there's no way you can warn your children now. You have really taken away everything now. You like I said, you know, we tell the children, you know, don't let a teacher, you know, get you alone in the class. I don't care who they are, or what they want. Don't stay late after school, you know, with anybody. I don't care who they are, what they want. Now you're right in the middle of a classroom session. These children don't see this coming. And this is what you're doing. You're playing on them right in the middle of a classroom session. It's like you can't even warn them about anything anymore. They told.
Right.
They told. That's the one thing they did tell. But unfortunately, it was four children. Now, can you imagine this 18-year service as a teacher? How many children he must have gotten?
Exactly. Exactly. And that's the sad that, I mean, obviously 18 years, a lot of folks didn't speak up.
Right. Because you just didn't start this at no 69 years old, Pastor K.L. You didn't just start this at no 69 years old. And, you know, just the other thing that I forgot to, you know, bring up with Brother Al, you know, which annoys me greatly, is it says he posted $100,000 bail and got out. Why are you offering bail to these people?
Right, so he can do it again.
He can flee
and go somewhere else and do it.
Right. I don't get it. I don't get it at all. Oh my goodness. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. I want to recap this other story that we had about this, who they're calling this Brooklyn pimp, who has managed to get acquitted after they had him admit to chopping up this prostitute girlfriend, putting her severed head and other body parts in the freezer, along with her foot that had his name tattooed on her foot. And he took the other parts of her body to the Bronx sanitation site. And, you know, we were talking yesterday about the fact that, you know, these con artists had, you know, they say anything. They say anything to get you to where they want to get you to. And they're saying that he would promise his victim the prospect of marriage, to initiate sexual relationships with them before demanding that they work as prostitutes. They say that when one victim refused to prostitute herself, he used a taser on her until she complied. Another time, he slashed a victim's back and arms with a razor and beat her with a belt before he put lemon juice on her wounds. Then you have another victim who refused to work. He's accused of putting a shotgun in her mouth and threatening to kill her and her child. You know, these are all the things that he did. And now, from 2003, the feds are investigating from 2003 that he was involved with other instances like this. He performed some sex trafficking, and including on some minors. And, you know, I don't know. You know, oh, Lord. It's like, where do you even begin? where do you even begin? You know, you have, you know, he's promising marriage, you know, so you wonder how long are you really dating these women before you even go that far as the promised marriage. And now you flip the script and now you get them the prostitute. And, you know, needless to say, you're forcing people to prostitute now because, again, they're giving us instances of the things that, you know, he did. How do you possibly get acquitted? And it's funny because they don't mention, like other cases, you know, we've talked about, you know, they talk about how, you know, what the prosecution did or the detective did or something like that. They don't mention any of this. They don't tell us how or why he ended up getting acquitted. But, you know, this all gets started from the con artist. Brother Al, what are we thinking when you hear this story as a man?
Man, it's just sick, man. And what people probably don't understand is that lawyer, and it did surprise me that the lawyer was a female. She's been working for him for a long time, and he probably threatened her, and she had to get the law down and find every loophole that's possible that she can find, because there's always some type of loophole in there somewhere, and she didn't learn to master that. For them to find body parts and he still get off, they messed up somewhere. The prosecutors, they dropped the ball, and she was right there to pick it up. She working for him because she know if I don't get him off, they're gonna be hell to pay. And it's just sick. And you know, I was looking at a documentary one time about this pimping thing, and I just like, I don't get it. And these guys that was pimping, doing it for a long time, they all said the same thing. The first thing to do is to get her mind. Once I got her mind, I can get her to do anything and everything. And that's what this dude did. He had them girls' mind, promised them, like you said, like we spoke yesterday, but the con, oh, I'm going to give you this, don't worry about it, we're going to get married. And you think about it, you got several women, he going to just marry you and just leave the other ones out. You know, so that was the whole key of getting their mind, and that's what he did. And that lawyer, she worked for him. She's been working for him for the longest. Insane. Sickness.
Wow. Pastor K.O., what do you agree with Brother Al? Because I'm surprised. When I looked and saw this woman standing next to him, I was like, please don't tell me that was the attorney. Please don't tell me that was the attorney. And sure enough, that was the attorney. Are you talking to the mute button, Pastor K.O.?
He's pimping right now. Watch him.
Hey, pimping ain't easy now. Pimping ain't easy. but I'm with Brother Al. I'm with Brother Al 100%. You know, he conned these women, and then he had the ace card in his back pocket, which was the lawyer. You know, you can't have no better ace card than a female lawyer if you tell her everything she want to hear. You know, lawyers, you know, unless they're already married, it's hard for them to even get a date because their schedule is so busy. And here he's saying all the right things to her or has said all the right things to her, and she did everything she could do to get him out.
Wow. But you didn't hear this story of how he admitted to cutting the woman up and putting her in the freezer. Still, you can get somebody to work for you?
Okay. Well, I mean, and then the other side is, too, like Al said, you know, he could have said, listen, you know what I'm capable of doing. You could be next before they put me in jail. You know, so it could be a scare tactic. Because I've heard about it and because I've already admitted it, I know what you're capable of. So who's to say I'm not going to be next?
Wow. This is crazy. Well, here's the thing. I stumbled across an article, gentlemen, and, you know, it talks about talk is cheap. And then I stumbled across another article that said talk really ain't cheap, and here's why. They say talk ain't cheap when – wait, hold on. Let me get this right. It says when it's rambling and unprepared talk is not cheap. What does that mean? When it's rambling and unprepared, talk is not cheap. I don't. What does that make any sense to you, Brother Al?
You got to say that again, because Pastor Kel back there playing on the video games. I can't hear you.
Oh man, cut it out. That's my notice.
Okay, it says when it's rambling and unprepared, talk is not cheap. What does that mean to you? I don't understand what that means.
Wow, that kind of got me right there. Well, rambling is talk is not cheap. Wow, you kind of got me on that one. I'm trying to think that out on. What would that mean? Because you're rambling. You know, when you're rambling, you're just saying whatever. So, oh, man, I'm kind of – I'm not sure on that one myself. You got me on that one.
All right, well, let's see if Pastor KL can make kind of heads or tails of that one. Pastor KL, does that make any sense to you when it's rambling and unprepared? Talk is not cheap.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. When you're rambling and unprepared, what happens is that you can say stuff, you know, you can begin to write checks that you're behind can't cash, and it can cost you a lot later because you really don't know what you're saying. So you can put yourself in the line of fire, you know, by saying the wrong thing. Listen, how many men have cheated, and because they didn't think this thing through, started talking, and then talking. And did some more talking and got caught up with the first talking, you know, it ain't cheap. It's going to cost you at the end. When you're not prepared of what you're saying and what you're doing, it's going to cost you.
Okay. That makes sense. Does that make sense to you now, Brother Al?
Yeah, definitely. I see that. See exactly what he said, you know. You rambling. You will use anything to come out because you're trying to get some words out and trying to convince this person. So you wind up saying anything. And then it's like you just said that. I was like, oh, shoot, I just said that. Did I really say that? So, yeah, it makes sense to me now.
Okay, all right. All right, well, here's one that I do understand, Brother Al. When words are spoken in anger, talk is not cheap.
Oh, yeah. You know, you get angry, boy, you say some things, boy, especially you threaten somebody. You know, especially you threaten somebody. So you mad, you going to say whatever because you're looking to get this person afraid, you know, make this person really afraid of you, and you coming aggressively. So it's like you coming in like, what, you said what? Don't you know I'll stab you? And the person looking at you and you angry and aggressive, they're like, oh, shoot, this person might just stab me. So, yeah. I understand that one, too.
Pastor KL, when words are spoken in anger, talk is not cheap.
Right. I mean, just going back to what I said before, you know, you and your old lady arguing, and she hits below the belt and really gets you, and then you say, yeah, that's why I slept with your sister. Man, that's going to cost you. That's going to cost.
Doggone right. It sure will. Come on, Brother Al. When silence is the best option, talk is not cheap.
Yeah, because, you know, they always say, you got to watch out for that one that's quiet. That person giving you the glassy stare eye and ain't saying a word. That's the one you need to be afraid of. You ain't got to say a word. Just like all this is happening. And that person ain't saying nothing? Oh, yeah. Somebody go down. You better watch him real closely or her.
All right. Pastor Kel, when silence is the best option, talk is not cheap.
When silence is the best option, usually silence is the best option because you have so much pent up inside that you know if you open up your mouth, anything is liable to be said. And, you know, sometimes we say stuff that we can't retract from. You know, and oftentimes people don't understand, but when you argue, yeah, a lot of times you might want to hit below the belt, but a lot of times you say stuff that you've been feeling for a long time. And now if I don't keep quiet, this is going to be my opportunity to say some stuff. And it might not be mendable after I say it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Brother Al, when you make commitments you can't keep, talk is not cheap.
Oh, yeah, because you might commit to something that's big to somebody, and then you can't come through. Oh, it's getting ready to be a situation. And sometimes we do it out of trying to set the person up. Okay, I'll go do that for you. Or I'll do this for you. And, you know, and once you commit to it and then you don't do it, like this crazy dude, you know, that lawyer committed to him. Oh, don't worry, I got your back. I'm going to make sure you get off. He probably gave her that look at that where you make sure that I get off. Because if I don't get off, you will be off. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, no commitment. If you can't stick to that commitment, let it be.
All right now, Pastor KL, when you make commitments you can't keep, talk is not cheap. Did I lose you, Pastor KL? Yeah, Pastor KL, we lost Pastor KL. Somehow or another we lost Pastor KL. All right, we'll have to wait for him to call back in. Let me go back to my little list here. When words mean less understanding, oh, I like that one. When words mean less understanding, talk is not cheap, Brother Al.
I'm sorry, Pastor. Say that again. I'm sorry.
When more words mean less understanding, talk is not cheap.
Yeah, I think that falls in with the rambling. When you say so many words and you're sitting there looking at them like, what are you talking about? What are you saying? You know, that person could be so angry when he's just, like, again, rambling, just saying all type of stuff, and you're trying to figure out what the heck they're talking about. And again, because that person trying to express whatever they're going through and you're not getting it, that's dangerous because you don't understand what's coming. You don't see what's coming because this person is just saying whatever words, trying to find the right words to say.
All right. Pastor KL, welcome back. It says, when more words mean less understanding, talk is not cheap.
That's correct, especially if the words are out of context. You know, you ever heard a person who's been in prison for a long time and he comes out thinking he's educated? And he says a bunch of stuff to you, but none of those words mean what he think it means. So he's talking for 20 or 30 minutes, and none of those words go together. So, I mean, it's costing my time to have to listen to you.
Okay. Here's a good one. When words take the place of fighting, talk is not cheap.
That's for me. Oh, you didn't say no names. So I didn't know you was coming to me. Okay. I'm kind of on the fence with that because sometimes you got some people just talking. They ain't gonna do nothing. They just talking. You know, just you know what? I ain't gonna do. They just talking. So I'm kind of on the fence with that because I know some people like that. Oh boy, they talking good. They sell you the Brooklyn Bridge, but when it comes down to it, they ain't trying to fight you.
Okay. Pastor Kale, when words take the place of fighting, talk is not cheap.
Listen, I mean, I know those people too, Al, but God gives you wisdom. When Big Bubba come up against you in prison, you better offer him your cornbread. You better offer him your cornbread. I mean, those are the best words you could actually have in your arsenal. Do you want my cornbread? Man, listen, words can save your life in certain situations. You know, even when we get pulled over by the police, yes, sir, no, sir. I mean, these words you better learn when you're dealing with confrontation. Otherwise, you can get shot. So, yeah, I think that's a good point.
Okay. Here's Brother Al. Thoughtless words wound. Talk is not cheap.
Okay, you said what thoughtless words do what?
Wound, hurt.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You know, it might seem thoughtless to you, and this person might have said it without thinking. But you know, like I said, for me, I take all threats serious because you never know what's going through that person's mind. So I would say, yeah, that's a good point too.
Okay. Pastor Kale, when thoughtless words wound, talk is not cheap.
And that's true. I mean, it's not only threats. I mean, you don't know how sensitive a person is. You know, you can hurt their feelings by saying, hey, you got to wear that dress. You know what I mean? They might not know what you're talking about, but they may take that as an insult. You know, so a lot of times we have to kind of be delicate when or dance around certain things or certain people, because we don't know what's going to offend them and what's going to hurt their feelings. And for us, it may be a regular question, but to them is, oh, my God, how could you ask me that? You know, so it's a sensitive situation.
Okay. Well, then this goes right along with it. When words console, talk is not cheap, Brother Al.
Yeah. I go with that, yeah, because when somebody's consoling you, especially when they're sincere, and you kind of know what somebody's sincere, you know, that's going the opposite way of helping somebody. You know, it's not a threat. It's actually, you know, helping the person because they're going through something and it needs some encouraging words, you know. So, I think it works that way as well.
Okay. Pastor Kale, when words console, talk is not cheap.
You know, we as ministers, we should be doing this every day. You know, there's so many things that's going on in the world. And, you know, just a gesture or friendly word, you know, can help somebody through the day. You know, you don't know how they left their house, you know, who they left in the house, why they left the house. You know, some folks just come out, you know, just to drive aimlessly, you know, and sometimes your little word of encouragement can kind of help them get through the day. So, yeah, I think that's a big one because we don't do that enough. We're so concerned with us and our life and what we don't have or what we have that we don't consider what somebody else is going through.
Absolutely. When questions spark ideas, Brother Al, talk is not cheap.
Come back to me, Pastor.
All right, Pastor KL. When questions spark ideas, talk is not cheap.
And that's good as well. I mean, I can take that on a personal level. I mean, I think it's 2 years now. You know, you asked me to do one episode, one show. You know, that was a question. And then all of a sudden I was like, wow, I can really do this thing. You know, but I would have never thought that I'd be doing this. This was like not my go-to or not my dream that I want to be, you know, on the radio. So, yeah, sometimes just that one question, you know, for that one opportunity, you know, sometimes, you know, God will just open up a door and you don't know how long the door's open for. And you don't know actually what's behind door number one, you know, but it's up to you, you know, to be led by God, you know, and see what's installed. So, but it starts at a question. Someone had to consider you.
Absolutely. Why don't you take the one when words illuminate, talk is not cheap? How about that one? I like that one.
Yeah. Words can sometimes spark you. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes you've had goals and, you know, you have dreams, and then all of a sudden, you know, you had a child, or, you know, saying the job got canceled, and then all of a sudden someone says something that has sparked you, that has reminded you of that first dream. It's like also in ministry. You know, when we get into ministry, we are gung-ho. You know, then all of a sudden, somewhere down the line, you know, we start slipping and we start fading. And then all of a sudden, we get that illumination back. And then we get that thirst back and that hunger back, and we want to do it again. But someone has to speak life back into your situation. And you might not be all the way dead, you know, but just for somebody to come, you know, and speak life into your situation is a blessing.
All right. I like that one. I'm going to give you another one. When you talk past the clothes, talk is not cheap.
Say that again. When you talk past the what?
Clothes. When you talk past the clothes, talk is not cheap. We talk about this
clothes
all the time.
Clothes as in what you're wearing?
No, clothes as to, you know, you're going to close a book or close a door.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sometimes, you know, especially as being ministers and preachers and pastors, sometimes you have to know when to close. You know, sometimes, you know, when God speaks to you or speaks through you, when God is done, he's done. And sometimes because of the excitement of the people, or because of the fanfare, if you will, or because of your friends, you think you need to go extra. And when you go extra, that's when you're losing everybody. God has already delivered what he wanted to deliver. He has already said what he wanted to say. He didn't need your help. He just needed you to stand there as a vessel. And now because, you know, you got the rah-rah and you got all this stuff, now you think you could do more. But now it becomes you, and it's no longer God. So then that kills it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm back, Pastor Steph. I want to speak on that one too. The clothes, that's definitely true. You know, you ever been in a church service and this pastor that went up there and just put it down? You full now. You full. You got the word. You're good to go. And then he starts up again. So now your attitude turns to, okay, now I done got full. What time are you planning on finishing? Now your whole attitude then turned a whole different way, and you didn't lost some of the food that he didn't give you. And we do that too when we're comforting somebody. Know when to shut up. You know, just put it there on the point. Know when to be quiet. You just said something, that person is feeling good, cut it off and leave it there. It's like Pastor Kale said, now you're going further and further because now you done made this person so good. You're not giving God his props because God sent that person to you and spoke through you.
Right.
Now you feeling good and get feeling yourself. Now you want to say extra stuff. So, again, now you're becoming you. Now you done put that person right back down where they were. Instead of just saying what you need to say, that person feeling good, shut up, thank God, and go on your way.
Absolutely, gentlemen, absolutely.
Hey, Brother Al, 1 second. Brother Al, I apologize for being so long on your Zoom. I didn't mean to preach that long, man. You ain't got to call me out like this. I apologize, okay?
No, you did good. You did good. You didn't kill us. You did good.
All right now. All right now. Brother Al, we're going to close with this one. When words inspire, talk is not cheap.
Oh, yeah, that's one of the purposes we want to do when we're dealing with somebody or somebody who has a dream. And, and it's like Pastor Kelly said, that dream might have been dead or they felt that it was dead. And then here you come saying some inspiring things. You know, that's not cheap. That means a lot. You know, that means a lot, and that helped lift that person up. That helped that person to go ahead and go forward with their dream. Like, you know what? I didn't understand, but I see it now. So you know what? I'm gonna go ahead and do it. Thank you, Pastor Steph, for putting me on to that. I appreciate it. So yes, talk is not cheap when you're inspiring. Beautiful thing.
All righty, Pastor Kale, you've got the final word today. When words inspire, talk is not cheap.
That is also true. You know, we try to go out and we try to inspire, you know, not only by our words, but by the way we live. You know, by the way you live speaks volume as well. You know, and that turns into words. That turns into good deeds. And people see how you're going to react to certain things. So that is inspiring. You know, I want to be like that person. Or I want to react like that person if this ever comes. But I will also say that not only is encouraging somebody inspiring, because a lot of times we have encouragement for everybody else. We can talk to everybody else, but we're still down in the dumps. We're still in the hole. We're still going through. But, you know, you have to be sometimes like David and encourage yourself and inspire yourself. You know, it doesn't make sense for everybody to be inspired and you still down in the dumps. You still living what you think is a worthless life. You know, you think you can't be nothing better than who you are and what you are, but yet you can encourage everybody else to be better than who they are. You have to start with you. You have to encourage yourself. You have to get yourself to the next level and then show someone how you got to the next level. I used to be like you. Not that I'm just like you now. How am I encouraging you to get to the next level, but I can't see myself there? So we have to encourage ourselves and inspire our own self first.
Amen, gentlemen. Amen. Thank you so much for your contribution into today's conversation. And again, you have sent us out into the weekend with some thought-provoking words, and we give God thanks for you. We pray you have a blessed weekend.
Do the same. Do the same.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All righty. Let's get that benediction. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. That's Revelation 5, 12, and 13. You know, we like I said, you know, I stumbled across this, you know, talk is cheap. You know, we talked yesterday about the things that are said, you know, the con men and the thought that goes into the words that are said to draw you in. And, you know, sometimes talk is cheap. You know, you don't talk about it, be about it, as they used to say. And now, because this world, you know, is based on social media and, you know, all of the podcasts that go on and things like that. But people really rely on the words. You know, what are you saying? People are drawn in by what you say. And as the men so eloquently showed us this morning, that words are really not as cheap as people say they are. Sometimes your lack of words will get you much further than the words you use. Sometimes silence is golden, and you don't always have to say anything, you know. But as was said, you know, as ministers of the gospel, our words mean everything. You know, we can't say things the way we want to say it. We can't take the time to speak for an hour when we should have only spoken, you know, for 45 minutes, because just like they said, you know, that extra 15 minutes can undo the beautiful 45 minutes that you just put out there, because the 45 minutes was God's word, but them extra 15 were your words and will undo quickly. And I've been where, you know, where they've described where, you know, I've just gotten a word, and then you can instantaneously feel when somebody just went that extra two steps, and it's like, oh, that just killed it, you know. And do you really want to risk being in those extra 15 minutes that you didn't have to be in? And that's something that you need to pay attention to. You know, talk is not cheap. Your words are supposed to be golden. You know, talk is cheap when you're in the street and you're just talking the talk and you're just saying things because you just want to be heard. But when God has called you to minister for him, every single word you say matters. And when we get on here every single morning and we're ministering to you, every single thing matters. You know, we can't say what we want to say. We can't, you know, be in a headspace that's not going to draw people to Christ, because that would just be the morning that that person is on that needs to hear something from you. And you have been given that word and you're someplace else and you end up saying something that you had no business saying. Or because you're in a different headspace, you don't say something that you need to have said. So no, talk is not cheap. Not when you're talking from the word of God. Not when you're supposed to be speaking for God. Not when you are the only Jesus a person will ever see, has ever seen. Because, you know, we feel the presence of the Lord, but we don't see him like that. And you know, those of us who are walking in faith, we know what it's like. We don't have to see, because that's the whole business of faith. That's the whole premise of faith. But for those who God is just introducing himself to, your words are golden and they're not cheap. And just as was said, you know, we really got to make sure we nail it, because we don't get 3 and 4 tries at this thing. We only get one opportunity. We only get one opportunity to nail this thing. And sometimes somebody has come before us who has messed it up, but we got that one opportunity that we have to just get it back. And we got to make sure we get it back, because if we don't, that person may spend another 6 or 7 months in a tizzy because we didn't say something that we were supposed to say, that we also missed the mark. So I encourage you today to make sure that your talk is not cheap. You know, we had a short week this week, but we had a powerful week this week. Some of the stories that, you know, came up, some of the things that were said, some of the responses, you know, that were given to, you know, some of the questions or some of the remarks that were given in response to something else was powerful. And, you know, we talked all week about, you know, they're sitting back talking about these gun laws. And in the middle of this talking, we've lost another set of lives. How many lives were lost since the Uvalde shooting that now took everything into this uproar of, oh, we have to change things? This is not the first school killing. Had you moved back when there were other school killers, or had you moved back when other people were doing this or had done this, then we wouldn't be here. So we got to make sure that we're not like the lawmakers. We got to make sure we're not like the politicians. We have to make sure that we're not doing the same thing that other people are doing. And we got to make sure we move. We got to make sure we move on what we say. We got to make sure we say what we mean and we mean what we say, because someone's life is hanging on a limb. We've got to make sure we're doing what God wants us to do. We got to make sure we're saying what God wants us to say. Have you ever been standing in front of somebody just like Pastor K.L. said, you know, somebody who feels like they're so educated, and they just talking and you looking all up in the air trying to say, will they please just stop? you're not saying anything in the grand scheme of things. You might be talking, but you're not saying anything. Can we afford to be in that category? No. No. Especially if you have that title in front of your name, especially if you're walking around with pastor or evangelist or minister or, you know, something like that. People are expecting you. Even unbelievers are expecting you to say something. That's why we end up letting people down so often. Because we may not live up to their expectations, but they are still waiting for us to say something. Something that's going to make us, you know, sound like we are really putting a word out there. Even people who don't believe in God are listening to what you're saying. You are everything when your mouth is open. You are everything when you're saying the words that you're supposed to say and you're using the words the way you're supposed to be using it. But more importantly, above everything, God is everything. God is everything. When we are doing what we are supposed to be doing, God has to shine. Let your light so shine so that Jesus might be seen in you. We don't have that luxury of just messing around and saying whatever we want to say. Make sure that the words you say are powerful, meaningful, and life-changing. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew, my men, for sending us into a weekend with some powerful words. And I want to thank you for hanging out with us all week and helping us do what we do. Please do not let this moment pass you by. And you do not accept Jesus as your personal Savior right now, because later is not promised to us. Until Sunday, God spares life, where we will be having the Word Prayer Project one more time at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Please make sure you join us. God spare our life. We don't know what we'll be praying about. Until then, I love you.